Dentists are changing the way they work during the pandemic. Hygiene is always paramount in a field that deals with people's mouths. It's even more important now that we know the virus that causes COVID-19 can spread through our upper respiratory system. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent, and we want to hear from you as we talk about dental care. When was the last time you made a visit to the dentist? Are you due for your six-month cleaning? Have you scheduled your appointment yet, or are you putting it off? Let's talk about it here on the Ideas Network. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That number again, 800-642-1234. We have Dr. Patrick Teep, who's a partner and general dentist at Associated Dentists in Verona and immediate past president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. Dr. Teep, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Keely. Thanks for having me.
Certainly. And Dr. Donald Gunlock is a mentor dentist at Dental Associate Studevant Racine Clinic. Dr. Gunlock, thank you for your time.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Gunlock, what is the biggest challenge you have right now to providing dental care during this pandemic?
I think the biggest challenge is twofold. For the dentists and the providers, I think it's the new equipment that we're using, and also I think reassuring the patients that everything is safe. I think that's what we're really dealing with, and the constant changing of what is the current best practices. We were using the N95 masks. We have face shields now. The protocols that we have as far as disinfecting the rooms are changing. And so we're coming in and almost sometimes on a daily basis, it changes what we're doing in there. And, the patients, for them, they're a little nervous. And then when they see that we're not familiar with some of the new equipment or the new protocols, they get a little bit more nervous in there too. And I think it's a lot of it's just reassuring patients that, this is the best thing we can do. This is the safest procedures we have right now. And also the staff too, they're a little apprehensive of what is going on right now too. So I think those are the big challenges for us.
It sounds like that could go either way, right? Like you want your dentist to change protocols when the protocols have been updated. And if the protocols need to be updated, then what was wrong with them before? So it can be kind of hard to find your confidence right now.
Yes, I would agree. We're using things that, equipment that is connected to tubing differently. And you're just not used to using it. And the patients, and luckily I have a long standing relationship with most of the patients. And most of the patients, I have to say, have been really understanding, very patient with things. It almost reminds me of 1980s when I was in school and HIV was coming on the scene. It was so strange back then because we first started using masks and gloves, and some patients were offended that we were wearing masks and gloves with them. Like they would ask, do you think I have some disease or something? Why are you wearing that for me? So dentistry, I think, is kind of used to these changes. And I think the big thing for us is I think we've constantly improved everything, but right now it's changing very quickly, daily, weekly, and even monthly. What we were doing 2 months ago is a little bit different than what we're doing now. So it's hard to get your feet under you, if you know what I'm saying, to get used to things. Yeah.
Dr. Teep, does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I would agree with so many of the things that Dr. Gunlock commented about. I think, it's not so much you made a comment, which is interesting, protocols changing is what was wrong with what we had before. And I think the interesting thing is it's not so much that anything was wrong with what we had before, but we know so little about this virus going in, and it is so commonly updated. And Dr. Gunlock commented about how adapting to things, and that's so true. The CDC protocols, which is largely what we all follow, is what the CDC and what OSHA recommends. What they recommend right now is different from what they initially recommended. And I would anticipate, 6 months from now, as we gain more science, because it's so important that what we do is based what's on science, not what we think it might happen. And it causes dentists to have to stay on top of that. But that's what keeps everybody safe.
Dr. Patrick Teep is immediate past president of the Wisconsin Dental Association, and Dr. Donald Gunlock is a mentor dentist at Dental Associates Sturdivant Racine Clinic. And we're talking about dental care during the pandemic. And there's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Have you visited the dentist since COVID-19 became a concern? Tell us what your experience was like. What kind of safety precautions did your clinic take? And will you go back? 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Teep, we saw medical facilities postpone elective procedures in the early days of the pandemic. Then they kind of worked them back in to a certain extent. What kind of guidance did the Wisconsin Dental Association provide clinics about dental care?
Yeah, so it all really started when so much was we were seeing in the media, middle of March. I think it was March 16th when the American Dental Association first came out with guidance recommending that all dental offices basically close to routine or elective care and focus just on emergencies and urgencies. The goal at that time was to preserve that priceless PPE, or, you know, the masks, the gloves and such, and try to prevent people from having to go to the emergency room. Unfortunately, there are tens of thousands of dental-related emergency room visits across the country, and thousands even just here in Wisconsin. So our role was to try to prevent as many people from going to the emergency room so that our medical colleagues can focus on, you know, the developing pandemic at that point. And generally, the overwhelming majority of dental offices abided by that. They saw basically just those emergencies and urgencies. And it wasn't until the beginning of May that guidance started to really change and then open to more elective procedures.
Dr. Gundlach, how did you decide which procedures needed to be rescheduled and which ones needed to stay on the calendar?
Well, you know, we started using a lot of teledentistry, and that really helped a lot. I think a lot of the patients needed to be reassured. We still have patients coming in now saying, you know, I was in a lot of pain, but I wasn't sure if I should come in or if I should call you. So we would do a lot of, initially we were on the phone a lot, and then we switched over to doing some teledentistry, which I think is one of the benefits that's going to come out of this whole thing. But on the phone, definitely, we would talk to them, review their history. And if there was any ever question, you know, we weren't sure, then we would definitely bring them in. But obviously pain, swelling, bleeding, those types of things, you know, those were urgent needs, even broken teeth that were not symptomatic at the time. And everybody was decided really on a case-by-case basis, because it's hard to know. You know, a patient will tell you one thing, but they'd mean something a little bit different. So it gets a little tricky to do that. So, but that was the big advantage of at least having some technology where we could talk to people. They could send us even a photograph, you know, text us to us or something so that we could see what was going on in their mouths.
I mean, I'll admit, I think of telemedicine more when it comes to general practitioners, right? Here's this big scrape or this weird rash that my kid has on his knees. Send a picture in. You're saying we can do some of those things when it comes to our oral health, too.
Yes, people are pretty good with their cell phones and taking pictures. So I've seen a lot of teeth photographs and, you know, post-surgical photos of people who are just questioning, is this right? Is this healing right? Is this not right? Should I bring my child in? But I think it's just a great technology. And people are so comfortable with their phones now and doing selfies and, you know, flipping the lens around. It's really nice to take advantage of something people are already using.
Dr. Donald Gundlach is a mentor dentist at Dental Associates Sturtevant Racine Clinic. Dr. Patrick Teep, also with us, also a dentist. He was recently president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. And we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Maybe you canceled your dental appointment or decided to put it off to a later time because, you know, pandemic. How have you been taking care of your oral hygiene since it began? And when do you think you'll be comfortable going back? What do you want to see in dental offices? Let's talk about it together at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. $3,100 dentists in our state are part of the Wisconsin Dental Association. The group's been working to make sure dentists and hygienists have enough personal protective equipment to operate safely in a pandemic. That means protecting patients from exposure to COVID-19 and also protecting themselves. We're talking with dentists here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you are part of this conversation here on the Ideas Network. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. When was the last time you made a visit to the dentist? Was it a regular cleaning you had scheduled during this time, or have you avoided that? Maybe you had to go for an emergency. Tell us what it was like, and if you felt like you could talk to the doctors and staff about how to make sure to keep everybody safe. 800-642-1234. Dr. Donald Gunlock is a mentor dentist, and Dr. Patrick Teep is a dentist and also past president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. Dr. Teep, what kinds of personal protective equipment do staff need when they're providing dental care? What should we expect when we go in?
Yeah, great question. You're going to see a little degree of variability because kind of getting access to that PPE, those masks, those face shields, those gowns, that's one of the greatest challenges that dental practices across the country are having, but here in Wisconsin as well, because they're in such short supply. But what patients will see will depend a little bit upon the procedure that they're seeing. We have kind of procedures broken into two different categories. Those things that are more of just routine things like preventive type of procedures like cleanings. And then there are going to be things that generate aerosols. We've heard that phrase a lot because this coronavirus is a airborne. And so if we're seeing those non-aerosol generating procedures, you're going to see face masks. You should see face shields largely. You may see additional gowns or scrubs. One thing that will certainly be unique in comparison to the past is it's very likely when you walk into the office, you're going to see all the staff wearing some type of face mask. And that's something we weren't used to before.
Yeah. Dr. Gunlock, how often are you able to make sure that you're disposing of that personal protective equipment after use? Things like gloves, of course, but also the gowns, the masks, the face shields. How do we manage that equipment?
Right. Well, the gloves, you know, those haven't changed a lot. So we're still obviously changing those after every patient. The masks, you know, they are in short supply. So we are wearing additional masks on top of the N95 masks or the level 3 masks to protect them so that we can continue to use them. So we'll put a more of a disposable mask on the surface of those to save them. We have disposable gowns that we can wear on top of our regular gowns, especially for certain type of procedures, especially like Dr. Teep said, the aerosol producing procedures. The face shields, you know, you can either dispose of them. A lot of times you can swap them out or you can wipe them down with some type of a cavicide wipe. And so it depends on the procedure and the personal preference of the individual practitioner. And I think Dr. Teep is right. I think all the dental offices are so unique. You're going to see different things going on inside the clinic. I think one of the other things the patients will notice too is there'll be few or sometimes no other patients in the reception area. You know, we're trying to keep the amount of interactions down as well. And so the people are waiting in their cars. So it's a whole different procedure, and just expect to have things different than you. But most of the time when we talk to the patients, we give them a heads up about some of the changes to expect. And I think at this point, I think most of the patients are used to seeing things completely different in the setting right now.
So Dr. Gunlock, then, are you limiting the number of people that can be in that waiting room or scheduling appointments very specifically? How do you make sure that people can maintain that social distancing when they're not actually having a procedure done?
Right. And, you know, we only allow the patients in unless it's a child and they need a guardian or a parent in the room with them. What we're doing is asking, and I think most practices are doing this, asking people to wait in their vehicles until we're able to call them. And again, there's technology at work. You know, we're able to call them on their cell or send them a text and saying, OK, we can meet you at the door right now. We escort them in, take their temperature, make sure that the temperature is good. We have hand sanitizer right there. And then we schedule the patients so that there's very little overlap of them, and they are taking immediately right back to the operatory, so they're not waiting in the reception area.
Dr. Gundlach is a mentor dentist at Dental Associates Sturtevant Racine Clinic. We're talking with him and also with Dr. Teep, who's immediate past president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. And your calls are welcome at 800-642-1234. What are you thinking about when trying to decide if you should go to the dentist right now? How do you want to make sure that you are safe there? That means make sure that you're protected in the clinic and also that you're not exposing anybody else to COVID-19 if you may have had an encounter with someone who has it. Give us a call. Help us understand what you're thinking through. Maybe we can help you make a decision at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Teep, what role are temperature checks playing in the process right now broadly?
Yeah, I think it's a very common and a very widespread role, I guess I would say, that's playing. We know that a fever, and a fever that general, the benchmark now is above 100.3, generally speaking, a fever is one of the most common symptoms of someone that has an active COVID infection. So as we're seeing in so many industries where a temperature is being checked, whether it be going to any healthcare facility, whether it be even going into a lot of retail establishments or going into work for the rest of us to get screened. And so, you know, that because, you know, approaching 90% of folks that develop symptoms will develop a fever at some point is that first screening tool that we use. And generally speaking, if you do show a fever above that point, there's highly likelihood that you won't be seen that day. Many dental offices are screening beforehand, asking, have you had a fever, you know, in the last 2 weeks? As we know, there's a significant percentage of people that don't ever show signs of infection here. And so, or they may pass it off as not being something that's major. Unfortunately, some people do develop, obviously, much more severe symptoms. But that's the role I think that temperature is going to take. And I think that's going to be with us for quite some time, that screening process.
And also, not just for patients, but for staff at the clinic.
That's right. Exactly. Is every morning, the CDC guideline is to have employers, dental providers, to screen your employees and yourself. So in our office, we take a no-touch temporal scan type temperature and record that every morning. And if we had an employee that exceeded that, we would send them home for work that day, or they would not stay at work that day. We're advising employees that if you don't feel well, then call and don't come to work. We're definitely erring on the safe side, you know, for the sake of our patients, for the sake of our coworkers, is that if someone's not feeling well, then to just stay at home.
Yeah, and Dr. Gundlach, similar thing, but it makes me think of when you were talking about how, you know, decades ago we saw people respond and say, well, are you afraid that I'm sick? And when we're taking temperature checks, I mean, the answer is yes, we want to make sure you're not sick.
Yes, and again, the patients have been great, and we do the exact same thing. We have the scanners, and we swipe it across the forehead, and I think people... I think people, the patients have been great. The staff has been great about it. You know, we have fun with it. I think right now with the staff, you know, just coming in and making jokes about our temperatures, and not that it's a laughing matter, but it's so become so routine and we're so casual with it now. People are not getting any type of pushback, and we're people even, I will say that when people cough, they're like, I don't have anything. I'm just coughing an allergy. So we do see that where, you know, it seems kind of awkward. As a matter of fact, I'm allergic to grass, and this is prime pollen season for grass. And doing the interview, every once in a while, I'll mute myself because I'll have to sneeze or cough. And, you know, you see people just be very, I don't know, ashamed or just very aware that they're coughing all of a sudden, which is not a bad thing, because I think before people would cough or sneeze and just kind of spray it everywhere. But you see people using the more protective type into your elbow type of cough. So I think it's a good awakening. And the screening for the temperatures, I think these are all really good things that I think is going to help to protect the public even more. I think these are just things we were never really aware of or overlooked because we became a little complacent that, hey, everything's perfect, we're doing really well, and then this comes along and we're like, well, we can do better, and let's do better. And I think everybody's really accepted it, from the patients to the staff to the doctors. It's really been, I really see some real positives coming out of this.
We are talking with two dentists this hour about what it's like to run dental clinics and also make sure that people are safe during a pandemic. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. You can tell us when the last time was that you made a visit to the dentist. Have you gone since COVID-19 became a concern? And what are you thinking about as you look to schedule that next appointment? We've got Dr. Patrick Teep and Dr. Donald Gundlach, dentists here in Wisconsin, ready to take your calls, listen to what your experience was like. Maybe you have experienced a lack of dental care during the pandemic. How is that affecting you and your family? Maybe you had an emergency. This is a time to share your story. 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. This conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to The Ideas Network. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention notes that we don't actually have data yet on risks of spreading the new coronavirus during dental procedures. And yet the CDC acknowledges that dental instruments involve a level of spray. And we know COVID-19 spreads between people close together. Working inside a person's mouth is about as close as we can get. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. And you're part of this conversation about dentistry during the pandemic. What's your comfort with dental care right now? Maybe you have just scheduled an appointment and want to know what to expect, or you've had an experience at the dentist. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Dan from Racine did. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
What was your experience like? You've gone to the dentist?
Yes, I went about 10 days ago, maybe last week. It was last Tuesday, I think, and I had a great experience. I was very concerned at first. My wife had gone. She said, oh, no, they're doing all the things that you would expect. And so I was, they texted me and said text or call when you get there. I did. I had my mask ready. The attendant came out and scanned my head, did a little paperwork, went inside, came back out, I would say less than a minute later, and escorted me in through both doors and right to the chair. And I was seated in about, a minute, which seems shorter than normal and none of the wait. So that was really nice. The dental assistant came in, the hygienist, I think, came in and did a quick once over. She was very friendly and wearing masks, and the doctor came in and he was wearing all the PPE you would expect. So I was very comfortable. They probed around, did the standard, he was doing a review of some of my dental work, and he did his thing, and I felt great. I mean, I actually felt safer than I think in the past because you would go in and there'd be other folks there, and now there's a heightened sense of awareness. So it made me feel really comfortable. Everyone was in good spirits, so it was a great experience.
Dan, thank you for sharing that with us. And we're talking with two dentists right now here on the Ideas Network. Dr. Patrick Teep practices at Associated Dentists in Verona. Dr. Teep, how do you make sure that you still have that connection to the patient, that you're able to really talk through some serious matters when it comes to their dental health, when you have kind of all of these extra distractions we're not used to?
I have to first make a comment back to Dan. Dan, I'm impressed with your level of observation. And so as you describe an experience that I think that we all as dentists, and certainly as the Wisconsin Dental Association, that we think that everyone should expect to get. So thank you for your comments, and thank you so much for your level of awareness and your level of observation. But going back, I think, it has been a challenge because of wearing the masks all the time. You hit on it, I think, Keely, at the beginning, that you know, dentistry is unique in that we're in people's personal spaces all the time. And although we're comfortable in doing that, that's not always comfortable for everyone else. But now we add, you know, so often, you know, the dentist or the dental hygienist will do their work and we'll sit back, roll back, and maybe chat a little about what's going on. It is a much more, I think, personal area of healthcare maybe than certain other areas. And now that we're wearing masks so often, it's difficult because we get a lot of those nonverbal communication signals, don't we, from talking, seeing people's facial expressions. So that part of it, we're going to have to learn to deal with, but there's an adaption to that. And we have to talk a little bit more. We kind of learn, maybe you've heard the term smile with your eyes. I don't know if you've heard that term, and it's a developing one, I guess. But we do have to learn how to interpret people, to communicate a little more now that we're going to be showing masks. So that's a challenge, but we'll learn that over time.
We're talking with Dr. Patrick Teep, also here with Dr. Donald Gundlach, who's a mentor dentist at Dental Associates Sturtevant Racine Clinic. And Dr. Gundlach, some people might decide to delay dental care this year because of the pandemic. They just might not be comfortable. What are some of the dangers that we really could see from that?
Well, obviously, we're very concerned about infections, and those infections can get very serious. I think a lot of people have brushed aside infections as, oh, we can just take some antibiotics and it'll go away. You know, dental infections are a little different than like a strep throat. Dental infections reside inside the tooth, and that infection will remain in there until that tooth is addressed. Even with the antibiotics will kind of control the infection, but it never completely eliminates it. So I think it's really important that people, if they're apprehensive, like I said, you know, you can always call your dentist and talk to them over the phone and kind of reassure that. I think one of the other things they can do is be one of the, if they're very apprehensive, they could be one of the first or the first patient that comes into the clinic in the morning. You know, I think most of the dentists really want to help their patients. And if that means, you know, maybe the dentist comes in a half hour early so that there's nobody else around and the patients are more comfortable doing that. You know, I've come in early for patients, and I know that I think your caller, Dan, speaks to, I think, dentistry as a whole. Dentists really want to help their patients, and they really want to make sure that we are not harming them. So by ignoring things, you can make things a lot worse, and you don't want to end up in the hospital because I think you'd be at even greater risk than you are coming into the dental office.
When it's not an infection, when it's plaque buildup or decay, does the speed, the kind of slower speed that dental problems advance, help us at all in case it's like, well, I don't feel comfortable right now, but I'll schedule out for 2 months and that might be a little over what I should do. Is that okay right now, Dr. Gundlach?
I think it is. I mean, you know, it's always a balancing game. You know, there's no hard and fast rules. But I think, you know, your dentist would know, say, you know what, you know, and Dr. Teep and I were talking about this. We're both prior military, and the Army has a classification system where this is more urgent care. This is something that could wait a little while. And I think your dentist or your hygienist can say, you know, you're really at low risk for this. Or, you know what, if you're brushing really well, make sure you're doing that. You're flossing really well. You know, we can delay this another month until you're a little more comfortable with it. I think most of the time in dentistry, you can do that. But if you get back to the bleeding, pain, swelling, those types of things are a little more urgent. That's what we look at. You have to look at every case individual. And then also you have to take into account, you know, how comfortable is the patient. And, you know, it may involve a conversation with their physician. You know, if they are in a high-risk group, maybe the three of us, the patient, their physician, and the dentist, have to have a conversation and say, you know what, this is what we're looking at. And maybe the physician says, no, I think you're at high risk, but we can do things to mitigate that, such as coming in early or doing it on a day when no one else is around. But we need to get this done because the risk of that is much more pressing than the risk of COVID. So I think it's really it's a great time for us, again, like you said, to connect with the patients and really have a good conversation with them. And doing that over the phone is probably the safest for everyone involved.
Dr. Donald Gundlach is a mentor dentist, and Dr. Patrick Teeb, also with us, immediate past president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We're talking about what it's like to go to the dentist during a pandemic. Maybe you've been to the dentist already in these last several months. What was the experience like? Perhaps you're due for a cleaning, or you're kind of putting off a procedure. What do you want us to know about how you're trying to figure out when to go in and when you'll be comfortable doing that? 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Dr. Teep, are you seeing different kinds of dental issues in this time than maybe in the past? Just the effects of people being home or people feeling more stress?
Yes. I think there are two. I don't know that's that we're seeing unique or different problems than what we saw before, but there are certain problems that we certainly are seeing more of. There's no doubt. I have seen an increase in people that are coming in with symptoms related to clenching or grinding their teeth. We're seeing that far more. Dr. Gundlach was commenting, he and I were talking about this before the show started, and he's seen the same thing in his practice. You know, the stresses, anxieties, people aren't sleeping as well. Maybe we're home with our families more and we're trying to find things to keep us all occupied and busy, and that adds to stresses as well. So we've seen more folks that are having TMJ type issues, folks that are breaking and fracturing teeth because of those stresses. We're also seeing, unfortunately, is problems that could have been taken care of a little more easily or a little less with a little less advanced care 3-4 months ago, but things have been put off largely because they weren't having symptoms. Maybe that cavity that was pretty big 3 months ago now has gotten to a point where it's even more involved, and that may lead to more costly care or more involved care. So we definitely have seen an increase in those types of problems.
Sure. So not only is it a big cavity that you have to fill, it has become, you know, threatening. So you might need a crown or something on it. So you're seeing that just that little bit of delay can have an effect.
It can. If it was a small cavity, for example, generally speaking, a small cavity isn't going to turn into a major cavity in a few months. It takes time for that to happen. But let's say that cavity was large, or it was right on the verge, and maybe it could have been fixed with a filling before. And you're right. Maybe now that tooth needs a crown. Perhaps it needs a root canal. Perhaps it's even so bad, or the scenario is that the patient chooses to have the tooth removed at this point. There's no doubt dentistry has always been very preventive oriented, and let's take care of things while they're smaller and while they're less of an issue than letting them get bigger. This has been some delay for a lot of people that didn't want to, they didn't intend to delay their treatment, but the coronavirus kind of forced us to that scenario.
Dr. Patrick Teep is a dentist in Verona, and Dr. Donald Gundlach is a mentor dentist in southeastern Wisconsin. And we are spending the hour on dentistry here during the pandemic, and we're taking your calls. Still time for your experience at 800-642-1234. When was the last time you made a visit to the dentist? Maybe you're due for a 6-month cleaning. Have you scheduled that appointment yet, or are you holding off? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. You can also ask our dentists your questions here. You can email ideas at WPR.org. The conversation continues here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is the Ideas Network. It might be tempting to put off dental care right now, and dentists realize that. It's one of the reasons they're setting up clinics to do what they can to minimize the risk for patients and the people who work there. We're talking about it with dentists on this hour of The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. Our guests are dentists discussing what clinics are like right now. You're with us here on the Ideas Network, and we're talking with Dr. Donald Gundlach and Dr. Patrick Teep. There's also a line for you at 800-642-1234. Have you decided to delay dental care during this pandemic? What are you trying to figure out when it comes to scheduling your next appointment? What do you wonder about dentistry when there is an infectious disease going around, one we don't have a cure for? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Gundlach, the pandemic is not likely to fade in the fall. We have infectious disease doctors talking about second waves and beyond. How are your offices preparing for, you know, another potential shutdown or increased risk?
You know, I think we've learned a lot that first couple of weeks of the first shutdown and how to approach this. So as I said earlier, we are refining everything almost every day, and we're really hoping that we have a good handle of it on it. The staff has been very good and very flexible about coming in and not coming in. And I think that's really what we're it's hard to prepare for the unknown. And I think that's really a lot what we're still dealing with here. Because even though we have these protocols in place, I'm sorry.
It's real life.
This is part of the situation. I'll just switch over to the room. But I think the big thing is that we don't know how to prepare for the unknown, and all we can do is work off of our best practices so far. We know that hand washing is good. We know that social distancing is good, and I think as long as we have these basic protocols set up, we know hand washing is good. Those are the things that we think we just need to keep doing and have a protocol set up, but be prepared to be unprepared, meaning that we don't know what's going to change the next day. And I think we're in a state where people are in that. They're like, every day it's a little bit different than what it was yesterday. And I think that gets a little bit stressful for people, but I think it's something that we as dentists are kind of prepared for at this point, is to be prepared for the unexpected, really.
Dr. Teep, it sounds like that's true when it comes to health, but also when it comes to economics. I mean, we've seen the pandemic hit restaurants and, you know, barbershops, stores, also dental offices. Are dental offices facing some financial challenges right now?
I think many are. This is unprecedented in times for all of us, and that includes dental offices. The overwhelming majority of dentists went through a period of time of zero revenue. Most dental practices are small businesses. They're small business employers. And much like anyone else, you go through an extended period of time with no revenue, except for maybe emergencies here and there. That's going to be a challenge. A lot of small businesses, dental practices, were able to utilize some of the federal the PPP loan programs that I'm sure that you've reported about and talked about. But those are still challenges. But also, I think dentists generally are planners, and I think there were some that were prepared for the possibilities of things. No one ever envisioned this, so it's a challenge. But I think now most offices are up and going and they're working back into things. Patients have been very supportive and interested in getting their care and getting back on track, and dental practices will survive. And will there be a few that may choose or have to change or close possibly? I suppose that's a possibility, but I think that's going to be a rarity.
Dr. Patrick Teep is a dentist, so is Dr. Donald Gundlach, and we're talking about dentistry during the pandemic right now here on the Ideas Network. And Dr. Gundlach, still talking about that, it's not just a dentist at a dentist's office, right? I mean, you have hygienists, you have other staff members, you have cleaning people, and all of those people are affected when patients aren't able to come in or the offices have to be closed or reduce hours, right?
Correct. It's really been, I have friends that are dentists across the whole country, and, you know, every state has been affected a little bit differently by this. And some of the people are having a hard time bringing their staff back to work because of either the fear of the COVID or, you know, their family situations have changed. They can't find daycare for their children. So it's really turned, I think, dentistry's up on it, you know, upside down, and the dentists are really struggling trying to make it all work. And I think, you know, organizations like the WDA have really helped us, you know, the ADA giving us guidelines of what we can do to kind of make this easier for everyone, that we don't, you know, the dentists don't feel like they're on an island, you know, especially if you're in a small town somewhere in western or northern Wisconsin. You know, it's very difficult. The patients come from a long way away, and it's hard to maintain a practice and pay the rent and pay the electric when there's no income coming in. You know, we as dentists generally make a pretty good living, but going 3 or 4 months for most people without any type of paycheck is very challenging. And it's also challenging because we want to make sure that we have our staff. I think, you know, Dr. Teep mentioned before, we're in everybody's personal space, but it's not just the patient's personal space. It's our staff. You know, we're with them so much and so closely, literally 2 feet apart for most of the day. Well, we're right next to them. You know their families, you know their children, their, you know, their parents. So it becomes very personal, I think, for most dentists to say, I have to lay you off for a while. So it's very stressful for us in terms of kind of a human emotion type of an event for our staff to have to lay them off or not be able to pull them back full time when you know they need money as well as you. So it's very, very hard, I think, on most dentists, because they really do care not just about their patients, but their staff as well, because we can't do anything without our staff. They're, to me, they're the most important part of the whole thing, because I can't work really without them. They're just tremendous people, and it's challenging.
We may still be thinking, oh, okay, I've heard all of this. I know they're trying to be safe, but maybe I'm still unsure about whether I should schedule a visit to the dental office right now. Dr. Teep, what should I know?
Yeah, I think what you should know is you're not alone. We've seen a variety. We saw folks that were really chomping at the bit to get in and get their dental care done. They didn't like having to delay things. We also have folks that call with questions. And I would encourage that if you're not sure, if you're not at a comfort level at this point, call your dentist and talk with them. Ask them questions about what they're doing. The CDC website or the OSHA website can be good resources to learn a little bit about what are the types of protocols that are being done. Everybody has to get to their own comfort zone. I can tell you that it's safe to go to the dentist. But there also is part of us need to be good consumers and be sure that our dentists are doing the things that we feel get us to our comfort zone.
And Dr. Gundlach, same question for you. If people are still on the fence, what do you want them to understand or think about?
Yeah, I think we understand their fears, and because it is a fear of the unknown, it's nothing you can really put your hand on. So if a fear can be rational, this seems like a rational fear, especially if you're in a high-risk group. I would say the same thing. You know, communication is the key. And really talk to your dentist, because every patient is so unique and different, and what their medical issues are. And there's ways that we can kind of support you through this. If you're very apprehensive, you know, perhaps we can give you something to take the edge off, so you're a little bit more relaxed so that you can come in. But I think the big thing is just communicating with your dentist and your physician and weighing your risks and make more of a informed decision rather than staying home and just ingesting all this, especially with the 24-hour news cycles feeding so much, anxiety back into the system. Really talk to the persons involved and get a more individual answer for your unique dental situation.
Then you're making an informed decision and not one because you're scared. Dr. Gundlach, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This has been great. I really appreciate it.
And Dr. Patrick Teep, thank you for your time.
Thank you, and thanks for doing this. I think this is a great service for all of our patients. There's so much misinformation out there, unfortunately, too much of it driven by social media. So thank you for providing people a forum to learn more.
Absolutely. Dr. Patrick Teep is a partner and general dentist at Associated Dentists in Verona and also past president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. And Dr. Donald Gundlach is a mentor dentist at Dental Associates Sturtevant Racine Clinic. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to the Ideas Network.